Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schleinkofer. Today we have Pastor Carl Gallups, the author of Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. Hello, Pastor. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Preston. It's an honor to be with you. It really is.
It's a pleasure of mine to have you here after reading your book. I guess it was about 2 years ago when I was doing some major study on preparedness and trying to put my head around the civil defense concept that I was formulating, and I was missing a piece. I was missing that faith piece. As a Christian, yeah. I wanted to make sure I was covering all aspects of my my quest for preparedness, and I was missing that instruction, which your book did a great job of giving me on the roles and responsibilities of Christians in preparing for hard times.
Thank you. That's what an ultimate compliment and great encouragement. You're a great encourager, brother, and I appreciate it. That's what I was hoping the book would accomplish. Not only, as you know, does it give black and white, step by step, here's a way to prepare, practical matters, but also, as you said, I believe I answer just about every biblical question that people ask, or answer every biblical objection that people raise concerning this issue. What about just faith, and all of those kinds of questions. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus tell us? So anyway, I enjoyed writing it, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. I praise God that it blessed you, and I hope this interview today blesses your audience.
Yes, me too. I want to do a little quick disclaimer here. Preparedness, and especially civil defense, are apolitical. There's not one faith or one political party that owns either side. So I don't care what your views are of faith or politics, you still need to be prepared. It doesn't matter, because if you don't, you're going to be a victim, and that's not a good way to be. It's not a good position in life. It's something that you really should fix as soon as possible.
Yeah. And Preston, really, I know your audience knows what you just said. And I agree with you totally. But really, if we think about it, our whole life is one of preparedness. And we do things every day that we don't even think of as preparedness. We lock our doors. We go grocery shopping. Why do we go grocery shopping? Well, we're preparing for the next week or two or three or month, whatever. Sometimes we buy in bulk. Why? Well, we're getting the best deals. But what else are we doing? Well, we're storing up, and it's easy to do. And so, we buy insurance. Why do we do that? Well, we're preparing for the possibility of something cataclysmic happening in our life. We buy car insurance. We buy life insurance. We buy health insurance. So people say, well, I don't believe in all this preparedness stuff. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You live it every day.
Exactly.
So you buckle up, seatbelt when you get in the car. Why? Just in case you have an accident. People say, well, it's the law. Well, yeah, but even if it wasn't law, are you telling me you wouldn't buckle up anymore? Or your children? You wouldn't put them in proper safety restraints? My kids. Well, why? Well, just in case. Well, exactly. That's what preparedness is.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. I started rereading your book a couple days ago and going through. There were some things that really stuck out. I've read through the New Testament multiple times, and I think I've read almost all the way through the Old Testament. There's some books that get more attention than others. There's passages that I never considered to be about preparing.
Yeah. Well, there are, Old Testament and New Testament. I don't have my Bible right in front of me, but I've spoken on this so much I can at least paraphrase. And so I can just say, the Proverbs say, look, it's the fool sees danger coming and does nothing, but the wise person prepares.
Yes.
On and on. You get into the New Testament, and it talks about, look, a person that does not take care of their own family is worse than an infidel. The word infidel means an unbeliever. Well, how do we take care of our family? Well, in so many ways. A lot of times we say, that means protecting them. Okay, but how? Physically? Well, yeah. Spiritually? Yeah. How do we protect them physically? Well, we put alarm systems. We tell them to lock the doors. We teach them about safety. Okay, absolutely. Well, you know what you're doing? You're preparing your family for the event of something bad happening. The chances of any of those nasty things happening to you are slim, but they do happen. They do happen all the time, and they could happen to you. So, you know, if you're taking care of your family, one of the things you do is prepare. What do you do if some cataclysmic thing happens? Listen, the people in Ferguson, Missouri, got up and went to work one day. They took their children, they dropped them off at school, they went to work, they were going to their doctor's appointments, their dentist appointments, and then the whole town, the whole world that they lived in blew up overnight.
That's a great example.
Riots and people had to shelter in place. They couldn't get into certain gas stations. They couldn't get into certain grocery stores. Certain roadways were blocked. And so you never know. I mean, earthquakes, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, floods. We never know when we might have to shelter in place, where we might not be able to get to a gas station, where we might not be able to get to a grocery store, or when we do, there's nothing on the shelves. I live in Hurricane Alley on the Gulf Coast. I mean, we always prepare. And it's not some kind of, you know, rabid end of time, I'm going to stock up 85 years of supplies. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. But I'm just saying everybody needs to prepare the essentials. And we can talk about the list of essentials in a moment, the seven basic essentials, and then anything else you want to talk about.
Yeah, that would be great.
You need to, because you never know. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to go over those seven essentials here in a few minutes. You're right. I never thought about Ferguson when I was looking at my various lists of threats. Although when I worked in Washington, D.C., I thought about those threats, and that's the first time I really started considering all these threats, because before I met my wife, I wasn't worried about anything, because I knew with my military and law enforcement background, I knew I could get by. It was after I got married and, you know, I had a rude awakening. I'm going, oh, no, what happens if I'm at work and she's not? And so what I started doing was I started looking around how to prepare and what I needed and stuff and who could help me. And there was nothing. And so that's why I started exploring this concept of civil defense. And my wife and I both worked in D.C. at the time, and I built get-home bags for both of us. Hers, of course, was a little lighter. I carried all the heavy stuff, but we would walk home. It'd take us about 5 days to walk home. So we were prepared to do that, because there was no way I was going to – if something happened in D.C., there was no way I was going to let her be put into some shelter someplace. No way.
Yeah.
You know, she's my responsibility. I'm going to take care of her, and we ain't going to no shelter. So that was my beginning.
Yeah, and so you're right. I mean, civil disruption. That oftentimes, that's something that very few people think of. I mean, we just take so much for granted, Preston. We're so blessed. I mean, we're so blessed. The vast majority of the world doesn't live like we do.
No,
I mean, if we need groceries, people think that corn comes from the grocery store, you know. they think that steak comes from the meat counter. I mean, you know, people forget this. The food has to be grown. Meat has to be butchered. It has to be delivered. There have to be farms. It has to be trucked and shipped and trained and flown in, and then it makes it to our grocery stores. And people forget that our grocery stores at any one time, they only have enough supplies to provide the local community that shops with them for 2 or 3, 4 days. Then they have to restock.
Exactly.
So what happens when everybody floods the grocery stores and one day the counters are wiped out? You say, well, I'll just go down the store and get something. Well, there won't be anything there, and it won't be there for several more days. And if the roads are closed, if it's a civil disruption or some kind of major environmental tragedy, disaster, it may be weeks. It may be months. So this is why I tell people, just be reasonable, just think. And it's not very expensive if you do it correctly, and we can even talk about that, to store up. I mean, you don't go out today and buy 8 months worth of food unless, you know, you got a lot of money. But there are ways to do it, and we can talk about all that later. But yes, preparedness is just common sense. We live that way every day, every time we buy our insurance, every time we buckle up, every time we lock a door, I mean, to our house, our car, mm-hmm. every time we take any measure of precaution, even just going shopping at the grocery store, what are we doing? We are preparing. And so people need to think a little beyond the daily routines of life, because those routines can be upset in a nanosecond.
Yes, it can. There's a lot of information out there about how many days you should prepare for and this and that. And, you know, FEMA promotes 3 days, and a lot of states follow suit. But the West Coast, I'm originally from Oregon, California, Oregon, and Washington all have 14 days now. And that's because of the earthquake threat. But,
yeah,
you know, 14 days is, in my opinion, a good place to start. You should have 30 days, because those guys that got hit up in New Jersey by Hurricane Sandy, they wish they had 30 days worth of supply. Some people can't store that much their apartments or condos. You know, that's a given, but you should probably store as much as you can and then start rotating that stuff.
Yes, listen, I agree with you. A couple of weeks at least. Now, I live in Hurricane Alley. I live right on the Gulf Coast in the Florida Panhandle. Hurricane Ivan hit us dead center. Hurricane Dennis, the next year, hit us dead center. Hurricane Katrina slammed into the entire Gulf Coast. I've been through those hurricanes. Listen, when Ivan hit us, we had 163-mile-an-hour sustained winds, 190-mile-an-hour wind gust all night long, even into the next day. When it was over, it was like somebody had dropped a nuclear bomb in our area. Trees laid over like dominoes, leaves stripped off of trees, roofs caved in, big trees on top of houses, power lines down, couldn't get out of your driveway, much less ride down your street in front of your house if you did get out of the driveway. And let me just say, for weeks, law enforcement, emergency services couldn't get to many, many places, even if they had to. A lot of the cop cars were destroyed. Our police station, sheriff's office, their roofs were caved in. The county jail was destroyed. And I mean, it was a devastating, it was as if an apocalypse, a temporary apocalypse had happened. And so the bottom line is, people had to shelter in place. They either had to have supplies already ready for several weeks or several months. In our case, it was several months before a lot of the roadways were up and power was restored. I'm serious, brother, several months. And so that helped me to help people understand. It makes a perfect picture of reality that listen, you don't have to be idiotic about it. I don't tell people put on a white robe, go to the top of a mountain, sell everything you have, and you know, and mm-hmm. and just wait for the apocalypse to come. I just tell people, get on with life. I mean, we're just here for 60, 70, 80, 90 years at the most. But in the meantime, we're living in the most prophetic time since the first days of Jesus, and I can prove that later if you want me to. But,
definitely.
But we also just live in a fallen world, and so there are all kind of natural disasters and civil unrest and, you know, threats of war and threats of attack and terrorist attacks. Those things happen all over the world, and we must be reasonable. My wife and I have what we call bug-out bags. You know, mm-hmm. I've got them in the
yep.
trunks of our cars,
yep.
like you
we
said.
We do, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, think about it. You could be on a lonely stretch of interstate highway, you know, just woods and fields on both sides of the road for miles and miles, and there could be something as relatively simple as a major solar flare, a solar corona effect,
yeah.
An EMP kind of effect from the sun.
Yes. Well,
I mean, that's happened. It happened in the 1800s, the
yep.
Carrington solar flare, and there were no electronic devices back then, but telegraph systems in various places of the world where that solar flare hit the most, they were fried. They
yeah.
were set on fire by the sun. So can you imagine if something like that happened in our digital age of computers and automobiles that run by digital devices and computers, you could literally, in a nanosecond, everybody on the interstate could come to a halt. And what do you do? You're going to walk 100 miles back to your house, 200, 300, 400 miles? You're going to walk 40 miles to the next exit or place, and then what are you going to do on the way? How are you going to protect yourself? How are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? How are you going to shelter? What if it's nasty, horrible weather? What are you going to do? Well, people who are prepared have a chance of survival.
You're right. And that's why you, as well as we, have get-home bags.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
That's why we have bug-out bags, because of natural disasters and unexpected circumstances.
You know, reading your book, and I highly recommend this book to everybody that's listening, and I've talked about it to many people. Matter of fact, I gave a copy of it to the director of our security department at our church. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important to have. Anybody that is in charge of public safety, they need to read this book. And one of the biggest takeaways I got from this, and I've mentioned it to many people over the time since I read your book, was that before you can meet somebody's spiritual needs, you must first meet their physical needs. And that was really important.
Yeah, and you must be physically prepared to be able to meet their needs first by making sure that your needs are met. And that's not selfish. Let me give you an example. When Hurricane Ivan slammed into us, as I said, 160-mile-an-hour winds all for days and days, excuse me, for hours and hours, overlapping a couple of days, it devastated the area. So one of the things, I mean, the first thing I did, I as soon as the wind started dying down where I could get outside, and they were still blowing like 70 miles an hour, which normally would be horrendous and you wouldn't go outside. But when you've gone through 160-mile-an-hour winds all night long, 70 felt like a spring day. You know, it's all a matter of perspective, isn't it? So
yes.
I go outside, still very dangerous with 70-mile-an-hour winds, limbs and trees falling, but I took an assessment, and I realized my roof was intact. My home was still there, although it creaked and moaned and lifted and groaned all night long. Everything was still intact. We had no power, of course. Couldn't get out of our driveway, yes. We couldn't go down the road if we did get out of our driveway. But then I knew we were prepared. We had water, plenty of water. We had food, plenty of food. We had our medical supplies. Of course, I had my protection equipment with me, and we can talk about all that. I had necessary tools to do some emergency work, et cetera, et cetera. The things that you just got to do. Now, what that did, it gave me, Preston, an immediate sense of relief, blessing, and freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to take care of my family and my neighbors and anyone else I could get to. Why? Because if they weren't prepared, I could help them. Why? Because I was first prepared. I took care of me and my family, not in a selfish way, but the next thing that hit me after I realized we were okay, now I am free to help other people. I don't have to go scrounging for my water and food today. In fact, I don't have to do it for months. So what can I do? I can go to neighbors, elderly people, helpless people, hurting people, and I can help them, especially those that didn't prepare. And so that's a liberating thing. And if you're a believer, as I am, it's also a thing that God honors and blesses.
Yes, yes, you're right. So let's take a quick commercial break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Carl Gallops. Hey, friends, please allow me to speak with you about something you may want to add to your regular health maintenance routine as well as your preparedness supplies. A few years ago, I came across an article in a preparedness magazine that caught my attention. My wife and I have always been health conscious, and we have taken various supplements over the years. However, this article introduced us to the world of essential oils. My wife began researching to find a reputable company with high-quality products. What she found was a company that we have been with now for about 4 years, using their products, many of them daily. The company is doTERRA, and their products are certified pure, therapeutic-grade essential oils. Essential oils come in all grades on the scale, but doTERRA oils are, in our opinion, at the top. Sure, you can go to Walmart or your local pharmacy and purchase essential oils, but not many of them will be recommended for internal use. Many of our oils can be used orally, topically, and diffused for their wonderful aromatic fragrance and health benefits. Some of our favorites we use almost daily are lemon, clove, frankincense, lavender, En Garde blend, peppermint, and melaleuca, also known as tea tree oil. these oils have become our go-to remedies for managing our health throughout the year. In fact, we credit our oils for our overall good health. You can too. Just visit our website at www.oilsforlifetoday.com. That's oils, number four, lifetoday.com. And explore the wonderful world of certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils for yourself. All right, we're back. We're back with Pastor Carl Gallups, author of Be Thou Prepared. It's great having you here, and your book was fantastic. Going into this next segment here, I want to quote 1 Timothy here real quick. 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You brought that up earlier, that passage.
Yeah.
That's one of them that I read over and over again and never thought of it as a preparedness passage. But that right there, you know, I've heard pastors talk on it about having insurance and being able to leave a financial legacy to your heirs, but they've never brought it up in a preparedness aspect for being prepared for emergencies.
No, just daily. No, and I don't want to necessarily rehash everything I've already said, but it, like I said, that's exactly what it means. It means everything. It means preparing them spiritually. That's the most important thing, is preparing people to be men and women, boys and girls of integrity and faith. That gets you through the toughest of times. And then, of course, it means taking care of your family and, you know, making sure that you're working and you're not just lazy and letting them scrounge, and that you're providing their food and their clothing, the necessities of life, their medical attention. But it also means just preparedness, taking care, making sure they are secure in their environment, making sure that their needs are met in cases of emergencies or disasters, just being prepared. Now, listen, you know, people say, well, what about faith? And I say, well, of course we live by faith. We have to, because you can never, I mean, you can store up 2 years' worth of food in barns and storage sheds in your house, and they can all get washed away in a flood or torn up in a tornado. Your food and supplies can be scattered to the hills. So what do you do then? Well, you start regrouping, rebuilding, and trying to get help from other people, and you're living by faith. So, yes, every day is a day of faith. We're not guaranteed of anything. Just because we prepare, just because I carry a gun with a concealed weapon permit, doesn't mean I'm not going to get killed.
Exactly.
But it does mean I have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
It does mean I'm not a sitting duck. Same thing with preparedness. Just because we have plenty of water and food and supplies doesn't mean that everything that happens in this world, we are going to be 100% okay. No. There's a lot of working, preparing, praying, faithing all through our lives. So in the meantime, though, the Bible's clear. You're an idiot if you don't prepare. And I hate to be so harsh, but the Bible says that. In fact, the Bible says you're a fool.
Yeah.
The fool sees danger coming and does not prepare.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a proverb.
Yeah.
But the wise man sees that danger coming and takes action, takes immediate action. So yeah, you're an idiot if you don't. If you don't think about it, talk about it with your family. And I mean, you can get right down to, and you don't have to be crazy about this, and you want to keep it just in your family. But listen, our family has code words.
Yeah.
I mean, in the case of a kidnapping, or in the case of a, you know, any kind of thing where we have to speak in code to let our family know we're okay or we're not okay or something.
Right.
We've got code words. So
yeah.
They're all kinds. A family needs to think, pray, discuss, and take action. Otherwise, the head of the household, whoever's in charge, usually that's dad and mom, parents, if you don't do that, you're worse than an unbeliever. What does that mean? Well, it means that even unbelievers do stuff like that. And a believer surely should, because God commands us. Look, use the brains I've given you. Take care of the precious ones in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great segue into my next topic that I want to discuss with you, which is prophecy. I've been a prophecy buff since I returned to my faith, 15 years ago or better. I like to think of myself as a watchman on the wall, because I look at the world through biblical eyes, and I see things that are happening that I believe are little micro events that lead up to the fulfillment of prophecy of the second return of our Savior. you know, one of the biggest ones that's staring everybody right in the face is Israel. Israel is a nation again, and they've been one for 70 years. I know 70 is very popular in the Bible, so there's big significance with that. Plus, Jerusalem is the official capital where all the consulates are moving now and embassies. And so Israel plays a huge portion in the prophecy and end times. And one of my favorite Bible teachers, Chuck Missler, used to always say, "We live in a time the Bible speaks more about than any other time in history." The more I watch geopolitical activities going on, the more I realize that his words are so correct.
Yeah, and the way that I state those words, we're now living in the most profoundly prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. We just truly are, and I can prove that. I've written to that. I speak to it. I preach to it continually. And I just want to say this. I want your audience to know who they're listening to. What I'm getting ready to say concerning prophecy, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of my back pocket. I mean, listen, I spent 10 years in Florida law enforcement, three different sheriffs, two different sheriff's offices, some of that in criminal investigations. Then I've been in the ministry for about 35 years, 33 years the pastor of one church. I've written 9 books that have put me all over TV and radio and in Bible conferences and prophecy conferences all over the world. I'm still doing all of that. I've had myself peer-reviewed all over the Internet, all over TV and radio for decades now. And so that doesn't mean I'm 100% correct in everything I say. I'm not so foolish or vain to think that. But it does mean that I'm not a novice. This is not my first rodeo. I've lived life experiences from law enforcement and pastoring, hurricanes, disasters, missions, et cetera, to understand there's a big old dangerous fallen world out there. I see what's happening before us. I know the scriptures. I write in great detail, uncovering a lot of the mysteries of the scriptures that have been there forever, but few people preach or teach on them. And then I've had to defend them, as I said, on international television and radio. So as I speak these next things, I just wanted your audience to know that I've given deep thought to the things I'm going to say. And I'm not pulling this out of my back pocket. I'm not making it up as I go. We truly are living in the most profoundly prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. I've known Chuck Missler for years and dear friends, and he's contributed material to some of my books. And he's right as well. I mean, it's just right before our eyes for those who have eyes to see, Brother Preston.
Yes, yes, I agree. I admitted to you in our pre-conversation that I recently, well, it's been a few weeks now, I bought your book, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of the Messiah. That's your latest book. I'm looking forward to reading this thing because just reading the back of it is got me, you know, that's probably why I bought the book. Other than being a book on prophecy, so can you give us some insights into that book?
Into that book specifically, yes, of course.
Well, you know, in general, I guess. Concerning the prophecies that you talk about in here, and then the rabbi who had that secret message that he left until a year after his death.
Yes, it's a very detailed story. It is a true story. So I will give the tidbits of it. Now, for your audience that knows this story in detail, please forgive me because you're going to be screaming at this broadcast saying, "Well, you didn't say this, you didn't say that." Well, there's just not enough time to unpack it here on Brother Preston's show in the minutia detail. But my book does that, and it's written in a very easy-to-read form. The chapters, there's like 50 chapters, but they're like 5 pages each, and each of those chapters have little subtitles, so it's really easy. Plus, it's told in an autobiographical format, almost it's almost like reading a mystery novel, several people have said. Plus, it's written, one of my dear friends, ministry partners, Messianic Rabbi Zev Peratt, who lives in Tel Aviv, Israel, born and raised in Israel, born and raised in the Hebrew culture. His father was a rabbi, his grandfather was a rabbi, his great-grandfather was a rabbi, his grandfather was a Holocaust survivor. They all knew this particular rabbi that I write about in this book, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, the most famous rabbi in Israel's history, biblical history, and modern history. And I show and prove all of that in my book. And they knew him personally. His granddaddy was friends with him, and Prime Minister Ariel Sharon lived in Messianic Rabbi's Zev Peretz's home stayed in his grandparents' home for a couple of nights. They're deeply tied to the Israeli government. Zev went to the Sanhedrin Rabbinical Training School to become a Sanhedrin rabbi and was certified, and then he found Messiah. Mm. And now he's come out of Orthodox Judaism and he's telling about Jesus Christ all over the world. So he wrote the book with me. I gave his biography just so your people will know that, again, this book is important. And it's not important because I wrote it. It's important because the story is true. I'm the only person in the world to have ever written a book. This is my second book on this topic. My first one was published back in 2013. But the reason I had to write another one is because so much more has happened since then, Brother Preston, to this story. It keeps going. It won't die. It's just spreading. It's going all over the world, and it's changing. It's turning things on its head. I mean, Muslims, imams have come to the Lord because of this story. Truly, Orthodox rabbis have been saved because of this book and this story. The underground church in China, several hundred congregations are in deep revival because of this book.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, because of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, but I mean, this story that's told, this true account, and with Zev's attachment to it, and now my second book on it, that's what it's about. I mean, it's just, the bottom line is, this rabbi. Now, listen, there's been a lot of rabbis, and even, as I said, Muslim imams down through the ages who have renounced their faith system of orthodoxy and have called upon and believed in Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as Messiah. So what makes this so profound? Because Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri was the most famous rabbi in Israel's history, and he, at his death, left a note in his own handwriting after telling people he was going to do so because he had had an encounter with the real Messiah, he said, and he was teaching in his own rabbinical training school that he ran a handful of students secretly who that Messiah was. So by the time of his death, he had a note in his own handwriting that declared Jesus is that Messiah. He had 12 that he left behind, and now 13, who are all professing believers in Jesus because of what he was teaching before he died. And he has the testimony even of Israeli news that did not even know what they were doing, but he proclaimed to his followers that he had met Messiah and would soon be revealing who he was, and the mainstream media picked that story up and reported it, not knowing that he would reveal that it was Jesus. So they can't even deny that he, you know, supposedly met Messiah. The problem was, now they're livid to find out that he named Jesus as Messiah, and I dared, because they tried to cover it up. Israel has a deep state and a fake news just like America.
Oh, yeah, though. Oh, yeah.
And they tried to cover it up. They're still trying to cover it up, but my two books, and especially this last one, is just blowing the story wide open around the world. And people are being saved left and right. So that's my brief synopsis of it. If any specific questions you want to ask me, I'd be glad to answer.
Well, the reason I bring up prophecy is because anybody that is paying attention will understand that things are spinning out of control faster and faster and faster. And we're not going back to the lazy days of the 1950s. We're not going to be there. We're running headlong into the future, and things are just spinning out of control left and right. So with that, we're going to see a lot of strife. We're going to see, like you mentioned earlier, the wars and rumors of wars. We're going to have civil unrest. We're going to have all kinds of things. That's going to be worldwide, and we're not going to be missing out on any of it. Matter of fact, this coming next election in 2020, I have a feeling we're going to see a windup of unrest that will be much worse than what it was in 16. And so I want to prepare people for that eventuality. I prepare for the worst and hope for the best. You know, there's one scenario that you can only do one thing to prepare for, and that is death. You know, the only thing you can do to prepare for death is accept that Christ is the Messiah, and just like the rabbi did. Some people may get down on me for having this subject in my podcast series here, but You know, I think it's important. I think it's important that people learn that preparing is, especially in the Christian community, that preparing is a biblical mandate, if you will, and that, you know, we've got a lot of bad stuff heading our way.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. And listen, you know, you and I are men of faith, and we're not ashamed of our faith, of course. We're not ashamed of the gospel. But, you know, I mean, this is your podcast, and we're not trying to be preachy, and I'm not going to be preachy. I mean, man, if you ask me, you know, preach the word, and you got an hour or 2 hours, I could do it without blinking an eye. But that's not the purpose of this podcast. So, but the point is, you're absolutely right. I come from, as you do, a biblical worldview. I understand where this world is going. I see where it's going. I'm not a hand-wringer. I don't set dates. I don't encourage people to go sit on a mountain in a white robe and escape from it. No, just live life. Plan for the future. You got to mow the grass and pay the bills.
That's
you have
right.
to educate the kids. You have to plan for retirement just in case the coming of the Lord is another 100 years from now. I mean,
yeah.
You just get on with life. But in the midst of it, like Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically he said, you have to be aware of what's going on. You have to know the times in which you're living so you can understand the urgency of it. Why? To be prepared.
Exactly.
Which goes right back to what you're teaching.
Yes.
So, you know, I know we're wrapping this up. There's so many things we didn't have a chance to get to, but it's all in the book. I mean, the 7 basics and fundamentals of preparedness, you know, what the Bible really says about faith and preparedness and the kinds of things, what the Bible really says about weapons and self-protection, and is that even biblical? Should we or should we not? I answer all of that in the Bible. Again, because of my law enforcement experience, 33 years in one church, we have a huge security system that we've built up through the years. I explain in the book how to do that for churches. I explain about concealed carry. I explain about home security with weapons, what to do, what not to do. All that's in the book. So I encourage the people to get that book, Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Saints for Persecution in Times of Trouble. But to answer what you just said, the greatest preparedness we can make is our own personal soul. Jesus said it like this. He said, what does it profit a person to gain the whole world but then lose their soul?
Yeah.
And so here's how, in case people are listening, they're saying, well, how can I know? It's as simple as this. One verse of Scripture. Now, this message is found throughout the Word, and I wished I had time to really expound upon it, but it's as simple as this. Romans 10:9. If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. And Romans 10:13, just a few verses later, says, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord like this shall be saved. That's
Amen.
It. That's where we start. Once we prepare our souls for the future, our life that is to come with the kingdom that is to come, then we can really enjoy this life regardless of what's happening. Just understanding that we are ambassadors for the coming kingdom, and in the midst of this fallen world, we have to be prepared.
You are right. And that's a great way to close out our show. Unfortunately, we are at the end of our time, and I wish we had more time. So, Pastor, if you want to say any final words.
Yeah, I would just direct people to my website. My name, Carl Gallup, CarlGallups, just carlgallups.com. And there they can find out all about me, the church I pastor, my background. They can visit my author's page on Amazon. My books are available everywhere good books are sold. I've been published by 2 major publishers, and so you can get them in any bookstore. My latest that was released in February, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, we've already talked about it, but I've got another one that will be released June 1st of this of 2019, and it's called Gods of the Final Kingdom. It's the third in a trilogy that's called the Gods series, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, and Gods of the Final Kingdom. Those 3 books are all available. They're rocking the religious world, the Christian world, showing and exposing from Genesis to Revelation the contextual connections that are just blowing people away. And they don't have to be read in any particular order. You can pick up any one first and just start reading it and just get a tremendous biblical education of what the Bible really, 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 really is telling us, where we're really headed, and what the headline news really mean, and how they connect with the Scriptures. You can find all of that out at carlgallups.com, and I pray the Lord blesses you for listening to this podcast today, and thanks, Preston, for having me.
Thank you, and enjoy your trip to Israel. My wife and I want to go back. It was fantastic, and I recommend anybody who has the opportunity to go, they should. So, I really appreciate you being on the show, and to my listeners, I really appreciate you listening to our show today. And as always, please be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you until next time. Thank you. Goodbye.